Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Yo.
Sup?
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor here at How Stuff Works, and I'm joined by one of our most fantastic writers, Jonathan Strickland.
Mm. Oh, pardon me. I was just browsing.
Oh, okay. Like on Internet Explorer?
Oh, well, Internet Explorer 8 beta.
Oh.
Booyah. We thought we'd talk a little bit today about web browsers and specifically kind of some updates that have happened over the summer of 2008. It's kind of the summer of web browsers in a way, if you think
actually,
about it.
Yeah, there have been a lot of browser updates out there, which, you know, it's pretty, I don't know, maybe less than exciting topic for a lot of people, but, you know, it actually has brought a lot of advancements.
Right, and considering that most of our work relies on internet browsers, for us, it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're going to infect you with our enthusiasm and interest in this topic, I think.
I'm glad you said enthusiasm and interest.
I'm glad I said infect.
All right.
So let's move on to Internet Explorer 8, shall we?
Yeah. So this has been out for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, it's the newest version of Internet Explorer. It's got it actually has brought some different changes. Hey, colored tabs.
Wow.
Hey, you know, but that can actually be pretty, you know, pretty useful in being able to figure out which piece you were just looking at. You're going, oh yeah, it's the green one.
Yeah. Yeah. We joke about it, but really these things that seem pedestrian do actually have some uses. One of the updates in Internet Explorer 8, really was just behind the scenes stuff that you might not notice immediately, but will make a big difference in your browsing if that's what you use. They updated, they improved their HTML reading capabilities and other markup language reading capabilities so that websites look the way they're supposed to look. As the web grows and evolves, it's become a lot more complex. Like originally back in the day, they were all kind of text files almost. with an occasional picture, and if you were really lucky, a MIDI file that would have absolutely no control, and you play over and over as you looked at a website. But now they're far more complex.
Yeah, well, you know, the web was never really meant to do what we're doing with it.
Right.
So, you know, it was originally used for basically for academic use and for research. So it wasn't supposed to have all these flash files and, you know, sound files embedded right. in them and e-commerce and all these other things. So the web browser has had to evolve to take advantage of this stuff. And it's actually come a long way in just a very short time, just you know, 10, 15 years. But right.
So that's kind of where these updates come into play is to make sure that you can actually, you know, see and take advantage of all these cool things that people are doing. Because if you don't update your browser, then, you know, the browser doesn't know automatically how to access this kind of information. So that's what IE8 is kind of doing. It's updated so that you can see the best and newest stuff that's out there on the internet. But there are a lot of other updates that went along with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, 64-bit downloads.
Hey.
That doesn't sound that exciting, does
no,
it? But
well,
no, actually, it means that now the Internet Explorer, you can download files that are in excess of 4 gigabytes in size.
Yeah, well.
That's a big thing.
That is a big thing, especially with
a big file.
Well, you know, we've talked about cloud computing a lot on here, but, you know, as people store more files online and larger files online, you know, you're going to see fewer software programs offered on the shelves of stores because you're basically going to put your credit card in and get your file download directly to your computer. Hey, you know, fast, easy, and very, very large.
Right.
So that's it. They're getting ready for that.
Yeah. When,
that possibility.
When we get into the point where entertainment is through digital downloads, like
yeah.
if you wanted to download an HD movie, that's going to be a big file size. You're going to need a browser that's capable of handling that. So, yeah, they are looking ahead, and that's a good thing because in my opinion, digital downloads are the future of media distribution. So they're kind of getting ahead of that before, you know, they don't want to lag behind.
Right.
Good plan. So, but there are other things as well. There's the in private browsing, which has another common term on the net.
Yeah.
You want to say it or are you going to let me say it?
I'm going to let you say it.
It's porn mode. Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Oh, I feel so dirty right now.
Right. In private browsing just limits the number of cookies and you know, tracking information. It really cuts down on all of that so that you can use your browser to look at websites and not necessarily worry about being tracked everywhere or someone like, let's say you're sharing a computer and we'll let's not even talk about the porn. Let's just say that it's for something perfectly innocent. Like I'm shopping for my wife for an anniversary gift.
And that would be a legitimate use for it.
Exactly. A legitimate use for the in private browsing. I want to shop for an anniversary present. I don't want her to be aware of it. We're sharing the same computer. I might turn that on so that I can look around, and that way there's no real trail there. So she's not going to know that I'm buying her a something. I can't say it because she listens to the podcast.
All right, then.
Okay.
But, you know, is it functional? What do you know, have you heard
what,
anything about how that – well, no, not the gift.
Oh, the in-private browsing.
Yes. I mean, there have been some – Internet Explorer 8 is still in beta.
Right.
So it's got some issues.
Right. Beta is a test phase. It's not in its final format is what beta means. So it means that some things may not work the way they were intended to work.
Right. Basically, when a new software program is first launched, it's an alpha phase, which means that lots of stuff is not going to work the way it's supposed to.
And it usually is internalized. It's very rare that a company will release an alpha build to external users.
But it does happen.
It does happen.
And but you're more likely to see a beta, which means that if you install this, it could, you know, behave weird. It could, you know, delete your entire hard drive contents.
Right.
You know,
it could be completely incompatible with like 3 other programs that are on your computer.
Or if you've downloaded XP Service Pack 3 and you have beta 2 of Internet Explorer 8.
You'll have them forever.
Yes. You will not be able to uninstall them. Which is just one of those kinds of things that happens when you try out new software, which
yep.
we do a lot of.
Buyer beware.
But after beta, once it's passed through the beta stage and it's gone through testing, that's when they launch it publicly. There's no gamma. I don't think I've heard of any gammas anyway.
No, there's just the Omega.
The Omega build?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yeah, that's one of the things that, that I'd heard was a problem with it. And I also heard that the newest version of Internet Explorer Beta 2 actually uses twice the system memory and creates six times the processor threads as the newest build of Firefox.
Yeah.
Which means it's using quite a bit of system resources. And
right.
You probably will see when they finally release, Microsoft finally releases the final version. I'm assuming that they're probably going to take care of that
issue. They'll have to scale it back some, because otherwise if you have multiple applications open, you run the risk of either slowing to a crawl or actually crashing your system as your computer says, hey, I just don't have the resources to run all the stuff you want me to run.
Or maybe you'll just hear your computer go, yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. It might have the little Wile E. Coyote moment.
And
that's
the little,
true.
Sweat drops over the your, top of your monitor.
And the reason we're talking about Internet Explorer first is because it's the most popular browser on the Internet right now.
For now.
For now. Part of that might have something to do with it being pre-installed on almost every PC that you can buy. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And a lot of people don't even know that there are alternatives out there.
Right. So let's go ahead and inform them. Let's talk about one of those alternatives. And we'll talk about the most popular alternative to Internet Explorer, which is Firefox.
Yeah, Firefox has its roots in the Netscape browser.
Yeah.
If you're a longtime Internet user, you've probably used a copy of Netscape, and you might have thought it had completely gone away. Well, you know, AOL bought them a few years ago, and actually just before that, Netscape released their source code, basically the code that they used to write the program, the guts, if you will, to the public and said, hey, do what you want to with it. And Firefox is one of the results of that that source code release.
Right.
It's an open source, free web browser.
And this summer, they had the Firefox download day when they released the Firefox 3 build. Firefox 3, of course, being the latest version of the browser as of this recording. I'm assuming that this will go out before Firefox 4 comes out, since that would be record turnaround time. But they had a Firefox download day where they tried to get as many people to download the browser within a 24-hour period as they possibly could. And more than 8 million people downloaded it. Now, granted, there was no pre-existing record.
So they set the record.
They set the record.
They can honestly say that they set the record.
It. Right.
Right.
But Firefox 3, it's got some nice little updates, which we talked about in another podcast. But we can do a quick rundown here.
The bar is awesome.
The awesome bar?
Yeah, the awesome bar is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, the awesome bar, which will sort of figure out what you're going to try and type as you type it.
I actually do like that feature.
It took a little getting used to at first, I think. I think a lot of people kind of resisted it at first, but it's not bad. It's, in fact, awesome. But Firefox 3, it's based on the Gecko 1.9 web rendering platform. The web rendering platform, that kind of tells you a lot about how fast your browser is going to go, because it's how fast the browser can convert data into the images that you're looking at when you're viewing a web page.
Yeah, so how fast the web page actually pops up after you tell it to load.
Right, right.
It has, you know, a lot to do with the speed of your connection, the speed of your processor or memory in your computer, but it also has to do with the software you're using to do this. And if you're using Firefox 3, it's going to pop up a lot faster than if you had been using Firefox 2.
Right. And other things that were new in the Firefox browser include security. There's some more security applications built into the browser. For instance, now if you go to a site that Firefox knows has malware on it, malware being malicious software, a warning will pop up and tell you, "Hey, this is a wretched hive of scum and villainy." Just thought I'd throw a little Star Wars at you.
Nice,
old school.
Yeah.
The malware issue, that's definitely helpful. And there are other ones as well that tells you, you know, if there's a security concern, it'll pop up and alert you. It also, is proactive in alerting, antivirus software about problematic web pages. So it's Firefox is really doing its part in trying to make the internet a safer place.
Yeah. And, And I have to throw in my little pet browser project here, which sounds like I'm belittling it, but I'm not. Another branch on the Firefox family tree. It's not really from the Mozilla Foundation. It's from a group of people who call their browser Flock.
Yeah.
But it uses the same source code, and they have a new beta out of their Flock 2. The one for regular version is still on 1 at this point, but you can download the second version. And the thing is, it's basically like what you would see from Firefox. It's, you know, it has the same version of the Awesome Bar. It also, you know, allows you to plug in add-ons, which is actually a new thing for Internet Explorer 8.
Right.
Although that's still, you know, they're still working that out in beta. Yeah. But you can add, you know, customization to your browser. But the thing about Flock that makes it so different is it's sort of a social networking thing because it's got built into it a chance to network with your Flickr, your Facebook account, your MySpace, Twitter, and all kinds of other accounts. And it's built right in along with the mail. So a lot of the add-ons that you would put into Firefox are already built into the Flock interface. So it's kind of cool. And it's very, very much. If you've already been using Firefox, you will find Flock to be very, very similar. And it is also free.
Right.
So, you know, I just thought I'd add that on because, you know, it works so well with Firefox.
And, yeah.
You know, of course, there's Safari has a new update from Apple.
Right.
And, you know, Opera actually has a new beta out along the 9.5. I've lost track of which 9.5 it is, but I always enjoyed the Opera browser. It is also a free browser from a software company in Norway. And they also have browsers for mobile phones and for the Wii. Actually, if you have a Nintendo Wii and you access the internet, Opera is the software you would use to do that. And I think that's all the browsers.
Oh, wait. First of all, let me just say in the interest of full disclosure, Paulette and I have a fundamental disagreement on whether or not Safari is a good browser. But we were not going to tell you who believes what.
You weren't just going to let me throw Safari
in
there.
No, I wasn't going to let Safari go with it. I think I just tipped my hand.
I think you did, too.
Okay. All right. I'm not a big Safari fan, so that's why I have Firefox on my Mac at home. I do have a Mac, so. But,
Safari actually, from Apple, does also use the Gecko rendering engine. And it is quite fast. A lot of people enjoy the fact that it is very, scaled down. I think that's one of the biggest things that Jonathan has a problem with is that it is very minimalistic. There's, you know, a forward and a back and a reload and that's pretty much it. There's not a lot of, you can add-ons, right. But it's kind of tricky to do that.
Yeah.
And some of them charge.
Right.
You know, ad blocking is not, something that's free. You can download a free add-on for, Firefox or for Flock that does a really great job of blocking advertising. But the best one that I know of for Safari, Pith Helmet actually is a shareware. So you have to pay a small fee to use it and add it to your Safari account, but you can try it for free. It just starts saying, you know, hey, what? Okay, fine.
No, I'm just trying not to use a pun.
Okay. That's fine.
With Pith Helmet.
I know. Okay.
The temptation is too great. We are overlooking a browser. Chris, I'm not surprised you haven't heard about it because it really kind of slipped under the radar. But recently, a little web company by the name of Google entered the browser field. Yeah.
I feel like I've heard of them.
Yeah, you might. You know, search around in your memory. You'll probably find it.
Okay.
So Google has come out with Google Chrome, a brand new web browser. And it's fast.
Yeah, it's really fast. Actually, it reminds me of Safari in a way because it is also very minimalistic. It is, you know, it's not fancy. It doesn't have lots of flashy stuff. Well, if you think of the Google web page,
right? Yeah,
you know, Google.com. It's sort of like that. It's very
functional.
You know, this is what it's for. This is how it works.
Right now, now
there you go.
No, we should say that first of all, Google Chrome is in beta mode.
That's true.
Beta phase, but. Then again, everything Google does is kind of in beta phase.
It's a work in progress.
Gmail's been out for a couple of years, and it's still beta. So I don't know that we'll ever see an Omega version of Google Chrome.
Right.
But it's interesting. It's rendering engine is the WebKit engine, right? So
right.
It's lightning fast when it's pulling up web pages. It's, you know, if your connection is good, you're going to – have a fast browsing experience with Google Chrome. Now, there have been people who have reported that not every web page loads or displays correctly, but it is still in beta. It's a brand new browser, and they actually had to release it a little ahead of schedule because information about the browser leaked out, which it's actually amazing it took so long to leak out because they've been working on this for a couple of years, and no one had heard of this at all until September 1st
yep.
of 2008. And then suddenly it's all over the internet and everyone has to have it. And they, on September 2nd, they held a press conference. Google held a press conference. And in the middle of the press conference, Google Chrome went live. I downloaded Google Chrome as the press conference was going on, installed it. Whole thing took maybe a minute and watched the second half of the press conference on Google Chrome. It was so fast. It didn't crash, didn't have any problems like that. And, it's got some neat features. One of my favorites is, often when I get a browser, the very first thing I'll do is I'll change the homepage.
Right.
You know, I don't want the generic homepage usually.
Yeah.
But Google Chrome, what it does is for its generic homepage, it pulls up 9 sites that you visit the most and presents them in thumbnail, in 3 rows of 3. And, you can see the thumbnails all in one view. And you can click on any of those 9 and go straight to that. So you're not limited to one homepage. You now have 9 homepages right there. And it's the 9 sites you go to the most.
I can tell you've never used Opera.
No, I have not used Opera.
The most recent version of Opera has a similar feature where you actually can tell it which ones you want on there.
Yeah,
too,
you can fiddle with the Google ones too.
Oh, okay. So you can actually tell.
Yeah, you have to kind of dig around a little bit. The other neat thing is that in Google, the Google Chrome, it's tabbed browsing just like with Internet Explorer and Firefox. Mm-hmm. But each tab is its own process, which means that that if you close one, if one's giving you a lot of trouble, you can actually pull up a tab organizer, see which tab is really draining your resources, and close it without affecting the rest of your browsing experience. And you should see a marked improvement in system performance overall. Like with Firefox and Internet Explorer, the older versions anyway, you couldn't necessarily do that. You'd be browsing and suddenly everything slows down. You're not sure which tab is causing the problems. Like with Firefox, it was usually if it had a lot of flash on it. Flash pages cause Firefox issues. Sometimes you can only play like the first couple of seconds of a flash video and it just stops. And it's because there's too much flash on the page and it just can't process it. Both Internet Explorer and Firefox also had problems with memory leaking, where, you know, the more tabs you had open, the more memory it was consuming, and eventually your system would grind to a halt if you were browsing all day long.
Yeah, Firefox too, you know, had a huge problem with that.
Yeah. Firefox 3 is better. It's not perfect, but it's much better than it used to be. Well, Google Chrome is trying to address those issues head on. And also it's kind of meant to be a platform for all the Google apps and web-based applications that are out there. It's kind of, they built it with the thought that the internet has evolved and that we're moving to this cloud computing model. Boy, we just love saying that, don't we? But we're moving to this cloud computing model where everything's on the internet. So that means the browser has to be robust enough to be able to handle these kind of applications. And that's kind of what Google Chrome is supposed to be.
Yep. But the, that actually brings up web content brings up the problem that most people have had with it. And I'll quote here, a perpetual, irrevocable, worldwide, royalty-free, and non-exclusive license to reproduce, adapt, modify, translate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute any content which you submit, post, or display on or through Google Chrome.
Why would you have a problem with that?
Well,
why do you hate America?
Well, this language actually came from the original version of the end user license agreement, or EULA, that came along with Google Chrome. So if you downloaded Google Chrome during the press release announcement and installed it without looking at this, you might have gone back and gone, wait a minute, what did I just say that I could allow Google to do with my content?
Are you suggesting that I didn't read the entire EULA before I done? Well, you'd be right.
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
You know, and a lot of people don't. People like the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Oh, they read them.
They had a big problem with this because they said that what what Google meant by this was, hey, we own all your content. Anything you post through this web browser belongs to us. And as one lawyer pointed out, it could actually violate the terms of your employment agreement with your company. If you were to, say, go to your webmail program and, you know, send email, and you're not supposed to share your email with anybody else, basically you're saying, I own the rights to my email. Well, if you're using your company email, maybe you don't. So, you know, there were some issues. Now, Google has backed off of that.
Right.
And they said, you know, this is not what we meant. We're just saying anything you – we want to be able to display the information that you are saying. So if you post to your blog using Chrome, you're saying it's okay for us to take this information and put it on your blog, right? But so many people have caused a stink over it that Google has said, okay, well, this isn't what we meant. Let's clarify that.
Yeah, the internet's really made the whole intellectual property argument much more complex, and we're probably going to see a lot more of these kind of little hiccups down the road, possibly from Google, which and other companies as well. All right, do I need to scare you? Hey, Safari's got a new update, and you didn't even ask for it. There you go, that'll work. But I guess that's a good roundup for the web browsers. You think?
I'm sure that by the time this goes live, someone else will have come out with a new browser.
Oh, I'm sure. There's no doubt. Yeah. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see if Google Chrome will have any staying power or.
Well, they've got such backing that it's, a lot of people have been asking, especially the Mozilla Foundation is saying, well, what do you think? Is this going to take you guys out? And, to their credit, they've said, well, bring it on. The more the merrier.
Well, not only that, but I think it will push for innovation in all the other browsers as well. And then
sure.
we may see that, all browsers are supporting this kind of a web-based application model, and they move away from being browsers into more like web-based operating systems. And I think that would suit Google just fine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess that wraps this up. If you'd like to learn more, you can read our article on how Firefox works. We also have articles on the other browser systems. We will soon have an article on Google Chrome. And that's all going to be on HowStuffWorks.com. Now, stay with us to find out which of our articles Google is really interested in. So it turns out one of our articles actually makes a cameo appearance in a recent Google document.
Really? How's that?
Well, we were talking about Google Chrome, and one of the ways that Google announced Google Chrome was they released a comic book, which went into great detail about the browser, right?
Right, by Scott McCloud of Zot fame.
Yes, exactly. And on page 19 of this comic, there's an illustration of a couple of different screens. It's supposed to show tabbed browsing. One of those shows a How Stuff Works article. Why do kangaroos hop? So if you want to find out why Google's so excited about this article, I suggest you go to How Stuff Works and you read, Why Do Kangaroos Hop?
That's fun to make that leap of faith.
Yeah, the hop, skip, and a jump.
Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry,
Every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.